So what we're going to do here is we're going to do a little sharing, and I have it on living in victory, or the victorious that we are. So we'll go through here, and I'm going to probably call out some of the pages here. You guys have those just for time, because we got a lot of scripture. And this is where we start off in here. And I did a teaching of this. We don't have to go there. But this is where my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay, and that is exactly true. That's Hosea 4:6. And that's where we look at not knowing what we are or who we are allows the adversary. I mean, Christians today don't realize that they have the authority of Christ. And so they're powerless. They're completely powerless. What a effective way to the wolf in sheep's clothing to come in and steal this away from people. And they allowed it. They allowed it. And so our objective is to get the information out, to break through those chains, to let people know that the strength is there. So let's start off in Revelations 2:17. And Melania, I'm going to let you read this one here. It's only one verse. Call out the page for us here, girl.
253.
There you go.
He that hath an ear, let him bear what the Spirit is saying unto the
assemblies.
Unto him that uncovereth, I will give unto him a white stone.
Hey, hold on. Unto him
of the hidden
manna,
and I will give unto him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth, say he that receiveth it.
That's it, okay? And so that's what we're going to be looking at here. I will give unto him of the hidden manna, and will give unto him a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knoweth save he that receiveth. Okay, let's go through this here. So here's what we're looking at here on the stone, because I thought this really caught my attention as I was going through this. I'm like going, what does that mean? What exactly does that mean, a stone? I'm going to give a white stone. And so when you look it up here, it's Cephas, I guess is how you'd say that. Does that sound right? Cephas? Okay. It's a stone or voice, and it's a small, worn, smooth stone, a pebble, but the 1A is what I'm looking at here. In ancient courts of justice, the accused were condemned by black pebbles and acquitted by the white. So the acquittal, Gary. And now when you look at here in the Bullinger Companion Bible, and everybody who's watching at home there, you can go to this on Telios Ministries page by clicking on the Companion Bible link, and this is where I went right to it to cut and paste this to put on here. And here's what it says, and I'm going to show a couple different things on here. In 17, he that hath an ear, let him hear that the Spirit saith unto the churches, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden man, and I will give to him the white stone and in the stone a new name written. And if you look over here to the side, 17 here, it says to eat of. The text omits. It's not in the text. So if you're reading it and your text shows that, it's been added. Okay? Guess what? The Rotherham does not have it in there. So I'm like, okay, that's good. That's nice. It's just confirmation one after another. But here's what it shows down here when you look at the stone here. A white stone was known to the ancients as a victory stone. Okay, it's a victory stone. And so I'm like going, okay, that is awesome. That's the victory stone. So when you see that, you're like going, yeah, you've been acquitted, or you've been redeemed. Okay, you've been redeemed by the white stone. And so the new name on it, what is that? What's the new name? And so as I was pondering this and going through this, I'm like going, all right, there were some references in there as far as the other scriptures with that. But you think about how the called or the chosen of Yahweh were given new names. You know, you think about Abram and Sarai, and how their names are changed. And you see that throughout time. And so when you see this, that there's a new name upon this. And so I'm like going, what exactly is that? Let's take a look at it. So in Isaiah 62:2, so shall nations see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of Yahweh will name. Okay? Now flip over to Isaiah 65, and somebody holler out a page for me.
7:10.
Thank you. And I'll let an adult read this one, if they would, please. 15 through 18 of 65.
I'll read.
Thank you. Top left of 7:10.
So shall ye leave your name for an oath to my chosen ones. So then my Lord Yahweh will slay thee, and his servants will he call by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth will bless himself in the Elohim of faithfulness. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the Elohim of faithfulness. Because the former troubles have been forgotten, and because they are hidden from mine eyes. For behold me, creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall be not mentioned, neither shall they come up on the heart. But joy ye and exult perpetually in what I am about to create. For behold me, creating Jerusalem an exultation, and her people a joy.
That's it. So when you see this here, and they say that, and it's mistranslated, if you will, or misused. He that has blessed himself in the earth will bless himself in Yahweh of faithfulness. When they're blessing themselves in the earth, they're sanctifying themselves. And when it says, and when they swear by Yahweh, they're not swearing derogatory, they are confirming an oath to Yahweh. And this is what he's saying, and this is the beginning of it, that creating a new heavens and the earth, and the former shall not be mentioned. And so I'm like going, okay, what a great prophecy that carried over for thousands of years. Okay, there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth, there's going to be newness. And we are going to be part of that. So a victory, a big victory. And as we look at this, this is an encouragement that as we look at things, even through, you know, bad times or down times, that we are already victorious, but we're kind of like in an in-between, okay, where we have things, we have issues, we have things, we are not incorruptible yet. We will be. And so that's a victory. There's a ton of victories that we have. And there's going to be some people who will never taste death. Okay, there'll be some believers that never do. They will not be subjected to the first death. And I'm like, oh boy, you're in a select group. You guys won the lottery for that. That's fantastic. But a victory. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I've got a lot of scripture here, so we'll try to get through here as best we can here. So call me out a page number, someone.
179.
Excellent. Are you already going there earlier after we get done reading it, honey? You can go ahead and start flipping to it. Okay. 179 it is. And so 15, 51 through 58, I will read this as soon as I get to it. 51. Starting off in 51 there. Right there. Lo, a sacred secret unto you do I declare. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. And that's it. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed. We all will be transformed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, during the last trumpet or shouts, for it shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible.
Hallelujah.
And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must needs clothe itself with incorruptibility. And that's it, the incorruptibility. Okay, so this is another where we look into victory, that we are going to be changed into incorruptibility. And there's mortal and this mortal clothe itself with immortality. But whensoever this mortal shall clothe itself with immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death has been swallowed up victoriously. Where, O death, is thy victory? Where, O death, is thy sting? Now, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. Now, as we look over this, I want you to think about this, okay? Now, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But unto Yahweh be thanks, who is giving unto us victory through our Lord, Yahushua Mashiach, or Jesus Christ. So then, my beloved brethren, become ye steadfast, immovable, superabounding in the work of Yahweh at all times. Okay? And that's it. So this is full of promises right here of what's going to happen. And again, a lot of Christians I know have missed this as well, where people don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's going to take place, and they think that when they go to sleep, that everything changes and now they're being judged. Okay? And we're going to see that that is not correct. Promise of victory. I'm going to read some of the scriptures here that are associated with this, because I have a whole lot of them and we don't have time to go to all of them. So Isaiah 25:8, having swallowed up death itself victoriously, okay, what we just read, my Lord Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all the faces and reproach of his own people. He will remove from all earth, for Yahweh has spoken. In Romans 2:7, unto them on one hand who by way of endurance and good work are seeking glory, honor, and incorruption, life, age abiding. Somebody want to read these for me as we go down there? Just go ahead, just jump around.
Let not sin therefore reign in your death-doomed body,
that you should be obedient to its coveting.
And that's it. And so as we're going to do a little bit of a study also on this about the sin and the law, okay, the sin and the law, and what's taking place where I think a lot of times gets missed. Somebody else.
If, moreover, the spirit of him that raised Yahushua from among the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised from among the dead, Yahushua Mashiach, shall make alive even your death-doomed bodies through means of his indwelling spirit within you.
Yeah, there you go. Now, that's the, if you remember the Iron Man movie, the little thing that he put inside him, that it was his power and his generator. Yeah. Okay, think of that. That's what it's in there. And so with that, it enables you for everything. I mean, you have the incorruptibility put inside of you. Now, you still have a corruptible shell if you want. If you will, but you have an incorruptible power source that is within you that you can tap into. Okay, someone else here, if you would.
Forevermore, we, the living unto death, are being delivered. For Yahushua's sake, in order that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal flesh.
That's it. And so even though we are of corruptible, we have been made incorruptible and for what's taken place. And so we have to review ourselves and reanalyze ourselves to see, okay, where am I at? Is this where I am? Someone else, if they would.
Whensoever he shall come to be made all glorious in his saints and to be marveled at in all who believed, because our witness unto you was believed in that day.
Yeah, another one.
And might release these, as many as by fear of death were all their lifetime liable to bondage.
That's it. And so this is the big thing, is the bondage. And when we put ourselves in bondage, we're still in bondage. Mm-hmm. Okay, whether whoever puts you in it doesn't make a difference. Our objective is, the world is going to try to always put you in bondage and captivity. And it's your job to pull it out and know the difference, know the truth. If somebody came by today and said, well, you're in slavery, you're a slave, you'd be like, no, I'm not. I have freedom. How do I know that? Because I have documents. I can prove that I'm not. And so this is where we have to be the same way with others. I'll read the last couple here. Revelation 20:14, and death and Hades, or Sheol, were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And Revelation 21:4, and he will wipe away every tear out of their eyes, and death shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more. The first things have passed away. And so this is where we look at it for victory, what we're going to go. So we know that things took a fall, and we know that things will be corrected. And in the meantime, what's happened, there's been all these different administrations that have taken place. And the administration that we're in right now is, we are the body. Okay, we're the sacred secret, and we're the body. And so we're a very unique or peculiar group of people that have this power and this access. Where you look back in the Old Testament, and the people who had this spirit were able to do all kinds of things. And they could prophesy, and they could do all these wonderful things, and that's what we have now. And it's been poured out upon for anybody who wants it can have that. And so despair versus the victory. And I kind of came across this story I thought was kind of neat. And this was the Napoleon's Waterloo moment, if you will. And Duke Wellington of England, they were going to battle. And so the story of this was obviously before there was telecommunication. And so they go to battle, and they knew it was going to be a big one. And Napoleon was very well known that he had great battle capabilities. He was a commander that got things done. So when they go, the fate of England is in jeopardy. And the ship comes in, and back in those days, you still see them where the ships would put up the flags, and the flags are basically letters. Each flag represents a letter, and people knew how to read them back in those days because they would broadcast with that. And the ship's coming back after the battle, and it's getting later in the afternoon, the fog's starting to roll in, and they're reading the ship, they're straining to read what it says on the ship on the flags, and it says, Wellington defeated. And England's up in arms. This is terrible. What's going to happen to us? How are we going to survive? He's going to come over and just run us over as well. Well, as the fog rolled in, the ship had to anchor up, and the ship anchors up and stays the night because it can't go any farther. And the next morning, as the fog starts lifting, they can read the rest of the sign. And the sign says, Wellington defeated the enemy. So you think about this, and here's what's cool about this, because here's where I'm going with this. Christ, the what happened after Christ was nailed on the cross. And you think about all the apostles, they're watching going, I can't believe what I'm watching. I can't believe this. That doesn't even look like this guy that I know. And now it's the attack that's come against him, everything, and I watched him die. I watched him breathe his last. And now he's put into a tomb. And you have 3 days where you're in despair. What's going to happen? Is everything new? Are we going to have to flee? What's going to take place? And so that's why I do the Wellington thing. These people thought that this was the end of the world. We're done. And I think about that for us as well, that, hey, if you don't know what the promise is, if you don't know what the victory is, just because you have not seen it and taken place of it yet, it's still there. Yeah. And so, yes, I believe, yes, this can happen. So during those 3 days, they were in despair. People were in despair. Other people were celebrating. Okay, and so here we are. Where you put yourself in that position? Do I believe that Yahweh's going to raise him in 3 days? I saw him die. He looked pretty bad. He looked pretty bad. And so, yeah, what's going to happen? What's going to take place? And so that's where the despair is conquered by the victory, knowing the truth to unchain those bonds. Victory over sin and death. Sin and the law versus favor, the coming of the faith, okay? And this is what we're reading, what we've gone through to see, and what we'll see here as well. The favor, law versus favor, so why was there law? Law was to check the sin, and it also lets you know when you were in sin. If you broke the law, you were sinning against Yahweh, okay? Mm-hmm. And so the laws are out there, and then people are like, well, I don't like laws. Well, guess what? They're there, and they're there. You know, I think about Paul, where Paul said that he favored the law because it let him know, it kept him in fellowship, and that's how we need to be as well. But sin and the law, and why the law, kind of went over it there for the show. Let's go to Romans 6. Six 13. And I'll have an adult read that for me if they would please. 6:13-18.
Neither be presenting your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sin, but present yourselves unto Yahweh as though alive from among the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness unto Yahweh. For sin over you shall not have lordship, for ye are not under law, but under favor. What then? Shall we sin, because we're not under law, but under favor? Far be it. Know ye not that unto whom ye are presenting yourselves as servants for obedience, servants ye are unto him unto whom ye are obedient, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But thanks be unto Yahweh that, whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient out of the heart unto the mold of teaching into which ye were delivered. And being freed from sin, ye were made servants unto righteousness.
That's it. And so the last couple of teachings, myself and Aaron, where we talked about obedience and servitude, where we go through that, this is what we're created to be. So by having that, you know, when you read there that... presenting yourselves as servants as obedience, 13, I think is where it was at. Okay. Neither be presenting your members as weapons of unrighteousness unto sins, but be presenting yourselves unto Yahweh as though alive from among the dead. Alive from among the dead. So this is where we're putting in between, that we have not died. Okay, but we're presenting ourselves as incorruptible, even though we still have not that. It's like a transitional. We have the Spirit, which is the incorruptible in us, but we are still battling until we are transformed. And so that's where we have to look at that. So some of those things here that I put in there, that you are not under law, but under favor. Okay, we are under favor. But does that mean we can break the law? And that's where he says. That's why he specifically brings that up. So when people in Christianity say, well, everything's forgiven, you can do what you want, we're all in favor. Right. No, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. Okay, we are under favor, but the law still applies. That's why he says, far be it, far be it. Galatians 3:19. Are you there? Mm-hmm. You are the first one. Mm-hmm. What page are we on?
193.
I'll tell you what, baby. Why don't you read verse 19 for me, and then I'll read the rest of them through 27.
Okay. 18. Why then the law? Because of the
transgressions.
Transgressions. It was added until such time as the seed should come, unto whom the promise had been made, and was given in charge through messengers at the hand of a
mediator.
Mediator.
Yes, and so on verse 20, now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but Yahweh is one. Is the law then against the promises of Yahweh? Far be it, for if a law had been given which had been able to give life, verily in law would have been our righteousness. But the scriptures did shut up all the things under sin, that the promise by faith in or of Jesus Christ, and if you see that, the note in there, the promise by faith in, it should be of Jesus Christ, might be given to them who have faith. Before the coming of faith, however, under law, were we kept inward, being shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed, so that the law hath proved our tutor, training us for Christ, in order that by faith we might be declared righteous. How are we declared righteous? By faith, okay? That in order that by faith we might be declared righteous. But the faith having come, no longer have we under a tutor. For ye all are sons of Yahweh through the faith of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. For ye, as many as unto Christ have been immersed, have put Christ on. That was it. That's where I stopped right there. Okay, so that's it. And so this breaks down the law. And so if you go back through here, it's a great thing to go back over and do word studies on here about the law and the coming of it and the tutorship, that we are molded to be ready for Christ, to be ready to put on Christ. And so that the Spirit, that we have the power, we have the authority, the law now, we have been changed, so we are under favor. But guess what? We are still mortal. And so we still have law applied to us, and we still are servants and obedient to be servants. And guess what? We will still be servants even when we become immortal and incorruptible. We'll still be servants as well. July 31st, 1838. This is a great, great proof here on knowing the law and how it works. A Proclamation Act was passed and abolished slavery in Jamaica. Okay? Again, this was pre a lot of the telecommunication era. And so what happened is the big cities, it spread like wildfire. But out in the rural areas, it took almost 2 years for people to do it. And so guess what? Slave owners never told their slaves. And these people went for 2 years as slaves because they did not know. They were still in bondage and still in slavery because they did not know their rights. They did not know what was past, what had changed, what was new. And so that's the same that we look at. Not under law, but under favor. Servants of obedience, okay? And that means servants of righteousness. And that's where we have to separate ourselves. Faith declares us as righteous, not under a tutor, okay? The body of Christ, that's what we're under. Go to 1 Peter. It's right before 2 Peter. What's our page? Are you there? All right.
239.
All right, how about an adult read that for me, 15 through 23, please.
But according as he hath called you is holy, do ye yourselves also become holy in all manner of behavior, inasmuch as it is written, holy shall ye be, because I am holy. And if, as Father, ye are invoking him who, without respect of persons, judges according to each man's work, with reverence for the time of your sojourning, behave ye, knowing that, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, have you been redeemed from your unmeaning behavior, paternally handed down, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and unspotted, of an anointed one, foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but made manifest as the last stage of the times for the sake of you, who through him are faithful towards Yahweh, who raised him from among the dead and the glory to him gave, so that your faith and your hope are directed towards Yahweh, having purified your souls by the obedience of the truth into unfeigned brotherly affection. From the heart, love one another earnestly, having been regenerated, not out of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through means of the word of the living and abiding Elohim,
That's it. And so that's it. And so when you see that, you're like going, okay, so guess what? Start to readdress ourselves and start to readdress those around us and other people that we know that are believers as far as who you are. Who are you? Okay, if you want to be, if you want to still be the slave because you don't know, well, then you feel free. I mean, that's not pleasing to Yahweh. And guess what? You're not walking in faith when you do that. And the faith is the pleasing to Yahweh, to walk out there to be in faith. And so to be able to do that to where you say, guess what? If I can do this, I read the stories of what took place in the Old Testament, what took place in the New Testament, and I see what these people have done, and the people walked out in faith, how what a change it made to those around them, where people, some people would find fault in it, other people were like, it changed their life, so like going, holy cow, I can do this. I think about the apostles, when we can do this? Yeah, that's how we should be. We can do this? You're kidding me. What else can we do? You know, it's like getting a new toy or a box of a tools, and you're opening up, and you're like going, holy cow, this will do this, and it'll do this, and it'll do this. That's how we should be with that with spirit. We're like going, what are we utilizing? You know, are we not utilizing the whole toolbox, or are we just barely touching it and getting into it? So better check yourself before you wreck yourself. Okay? Mind and body battle. And so this is where I talk about where we're in the in-between, where the victory, where we're looking for the victory even though we don't feel victorious. I'm sorry about that. Do you want mine to close up? We don't feel victorious because we're getting beat up and we're getting smacked around. Okay? But we have the victory. And so in everything, we have to look at it and be that way. Victory, victory, victory. That's where we are. We have it. Okay? It's the same way that the people, you could have celebrated after Christ was put in the tomb. We got 3 days. You ready? Are you ready for this? This is going to be incredible. Instead of the defeated, like, can't believe what happened. You know what? And guess what happened? All the people start to rejudge themselves. I wish I would have done this different. I wish I would have done that different. Doggone it. I hate myself because I did this. Instead of, you know what's about to happen? For crying out loud, get ready. Get ready because it's coming. It's coming. But my sin and the law, holy cow, me, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. During that 3 days, you could imagine Peter beating himself up. Golly, I can't believe it. I said I'd do all these things and I reject. What was? I feel terrible. I feel horrible about this. Okay, my sin, me. No victory in this. The victory is all chased away for the sin and the law that I'm chasing about myself. How do I reconcile myself to the victory? And this is a good one. What I want to do, I don't do. And what I don't want to do, I do.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all of us. We all do that. And so Peter, for crying out loud, this is exactly him. Boy, if that doesn't speak to him, speak to Paul as well, as far as how they felt that, for crying out loud, I know what I have, but I keep stumbling and I keep failing. And I'm like going, so quit turning back inward. I wish I would, I wish I would, I wish I would. And start doing the things and the victory, reaching for the victory that we have. So let's go to Romans 7. What page is it, girly?
Wait, Romans 7?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Page 156. All right. And can I get an adult there if they'd read that for me? There are just 10 verses. I'll read half of them if they want. But 7:15 through 25.
For that which I am working out, I do not approve. For not what I wish, the same I practice. But what I hate, the same I do. Now, if what I wish not, same I do, I consent unto the law, that it is right. Now, however, no longer am I working it out, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, somebody else.
I know, in fact, that there dwelleth not in me, that is in my flesh, anything good. For the wishing lieth near me, but the working out of what is right, not. For not the good that I wish, I do. But the evil that I do not wish, the same I practice. Now if what I wish not, the same I do, no longer am I working it out, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Hence I find the law, to me who wish to be doing the right, that unto me the wrong lieth near. I have in fact a sympathetic pleasure in the law of Yahweh, according to the inner man. But I behold a diverse law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and taking me captive in the law of sin which existeth in my members. Wretched man am I. Who shall rescue me out of this body doomed to death? But thanks be unto Yahweh through Yehoshua Mashiach, our Lord. Hence then, I myself, with a mind and deed, am in servitude unto a law of Yahweh, but with the flesh unto a law of sin.
That's it. And so I think about that as well, that, you know, the scripture that talks about how the rudder is a small piece but steers the ship, so is the tongue that does it. Okay, the same thing for our body and our mind. Okay, our mind, our body can interject into our mind, and then our mind can be taken over from what we feel. And the same thing is, the things come into our mind can take over our body. And so to control that, to have that, to be able to maximize that, the proper mind control, to put on the mind of Christ. Okay, this is one story here as well. Here, and I'm about to wrap up here. The mission to Africa, and this was in the late 1800s as well. And the story was that the guy was in Africa, and he was called to go to a village to go preach to them. And so he got his horse all ready to go, and it was a pretty lengthy journey to go to it. So he got his horse already, started going, and down as he's going through this path, the horse is basically following this path he's told to go. And along the way, the horse just comes to a stop. And so the guy dismounts from the horse, gets off, and is trying to figure out what's going on, but the horse wouldn't have any part of it. And so he walks out there in the path a little bit and starts looking down there, and he sees this snake that's across the path. And so he's like, you know, immediately he's like going, holy cow, people told me, you know, where he came from here in the U.S., it was an area where there was no venomous snakes. And he goes, oh boy, they have venomous snakes here. I got to be careful of this. And so he's like going, well, golly, the snake's not moving. It's just staying there. So he went back to his horse. And he's sitting there and figuring out what he's going to do. You know, he's looking around to see if there's an alternate path he can take or some other way to go. And as he's sitting there, the horse didn't want to budge. And so he's like, what do I do? And he felt the inspiration. You're supposed to go. You're called to do this. Go. Go do this. So he's like, all right, well, I got to get, what do I do? So he walks up and he slowly approaches up towards the snake. And then he starts throwing some rocks at the snake to try to get the snake to move. And he saw what he thought was a little twitch in the snake, but the snake was still laying across the path. And so as he's sitting there, he's like, golly, this thing won't move. Maybe I'm not supposed to go. You know, and he felt it again. No, you go. You are supposed to go. So he gets a little bit closer, and this time he's carrying a few bigger rocks, and he starts throwing bigger rocks. And pretty soon he's actually throwing rocks on top of the snake, and the snake's not moving. So as he's doing this, he's like going, well, that rock I threw is big enough. Snake's not going to be able to get out from underneath it. So he walked up to it. Snake's been dead for a couple days. Okay, so he's... Golly, but the horse didn't know it. So he goes back there to get on the horse and basically works his way through. And the whole time he's thinking to myself, golly, I just wasted 30 minutes on this, on something. And so with that, I'm like going, yes. Okay, occupied by a dead snake. Okay, and so for us, that's how we do. We get occupied by the dead flesh that we carry. We get occupied by things that, even if something happens to us, where, you know, think about that. If a person is being traded for something major, and they're still going out and serving, and they're the person going out, let me lay hands and minister on you. And you're like going, well, shouldn't you be focusing on yourself? And they're like going, I am focusing on myself, doing what I'm supposed to do. And so occupied by a dead snake, guess what? The adversary's a dead snake. He's been defeated. He's already been defeated, for crying out loud. We know this. This is a victory. But yet we still have the battles that we deal with and still go through them. Okay? Last one here. Let's go to 1 Colossians. Yes, someone? Call me a page, somebody.
I don't think so.
All right. Colossians 2, 12 through 15. And I'll read this. 12 through 15 of 2. Okay. Having been buried together with him in immersion, wherein also ye have been raised together. So when we look at this, has this happened to us where we think to ourselves, well, we haven't gone through that yet? There'll be a day when I'm incorruptible, when Christ comes back for me, that I'll be able to do all these things, okay? And you can do it now, because what we've been told is we're the body of Christ, so we get to partake, we get to tap into this energy, okay? Again, like I said, the Iron Man energy that's in us, we get to tap into that, and now that's ours to use. Even though the rest of our body may be failing, you know, and it's, oh boy, you know, I gotta go deal with this. I can't believe it. If it's not one thing, it's another. Okay, having been buried together with him in immersion, wherein ye also have been raised together through your faith in the energizing of Yahweh, who raised him from among the dead. Igaro, awakened from the dead. And as for you, who were dead by your offenses and by uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath brought you to life together with him, having in favor forgiven us of our offenses, having blotted out the handwritten the handwriting against us by the decrees, which was hostile to us, and hath taken away the same out of the midst, nailing it up on the cross, spoiling the principalities and the authorities. He made of them an open example, celebrating the triumph over them thereby. Okay? And we'll continue to do it. This is the crushing of the head. Amen. Crushing of the head. So, that's it. And so when we look at it for ourselves, to even though we're not in the victory, we are celebrating the victory right now. The same way that it should have been when Christ was in the tomb, that there should have been great celebrations and great victory. That we are, guess what's going to happen? Can you believe the day after tomorrow, this is going to happen. And then tomorrow, this is going to happen. And that's how we have to be too. That in the meantime, while we're there, that we're still exercising, we're still doing what we're supposed to be doing, we still have to abide by the law. We still have to, but we're outside of that because we are a unique character.
Seated in the heavens.
That's it. Okay? So these things have I spoken unto you, that ye may be in, that ye may have peace in the world. Ye have tribulation. But be taking courage, I have overcome the world. These things spake Yahushua, and lifting up his eyes unto heaven, said, Father, the hour is come, glorify the Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Amen. That's it. Okay.
Woo. Oh, that was right after the minute.
Yes, yeah. It was. I was out on the back deck. All right, guys. I'm going to go ahead and close here with a word. And Yahweh, we thank you for everything you've given us. We thank you for the words that you give us. We thank you that we are in favor, that we are still with the law, but as a guide and a boundary, but we are in favor, that you have given us favor, and the favor that we have is that it's been poured out upon us, that we have the Ruah, the Spirit that is within us, that energizes us and has redeemed us from our death-doomed bodies. And so we thank you for that, that as we put this on, that we go out as a new creation, a new character, and that we are just looking for, hey, let me exercise it, let me have the chance to do this, to do that for you, and be the servant, the righteous servant that you are calling us to be. And as we stumble, as we fail, that we come before you, and that we repent and get absolution, that as you say, that it is blotted away. And so we thank you for that we continually strive to serve you and do the things that you call. And we thank you for the words that you put upon us, and we thank you for Christ, that we are your hands and feet, and that we walk out knowing that we are the body, and that we have that we have your mind. And so as we correct and curb our own thinking and our own thoughts, that we continually kick out the things, that we purge those things that steer us away from our Father Yahweh, and that we put on the new thoughts and the newness that draws us to you and to our Father. And we thank you for this and for the words that you give us. And we speak this all in your name, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
My children, know that I have given you the abilities, that I have given you the righteousness to be putting upon, that as you come before me and you call out my words, that it is as a door that opens up and a blast of air gushes forth into you as I see a fire that just rages as this blast of wind just hits upon it, that it rises up and puts out a wonderful odor, just a wonderful odor that's created, that through this, that my words will not be diminished, that my words will go out strong and go out forth, that as I speak these words to you, that I call for you to repeat these things, to speak these things as well, and study my words, study these things that I have said, that as you do this, that you will know who I am, and you will know the character that I have, and what I have given to you, and what I have sacrificed, that I may be able to pour upon you great wisdom and great power and authority, that I call you to accept these things, to walk out and put off the things that this world is calling you and telling you that you are to have, and put on the things that I'm telling you that I have made and created for you.